Let's pray. Holy God, may your word, read and proclaimed, be for us this day living water and the bread of life. We yield ourselves to your word, the word you will speak to each of us. We are seeking to only hear your voice, to see your face, and respond to your will for our lives. Amen. So it's good to be visiting this morning. I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Alaska and all over the world. Now, in Alaska, there is not, the native peoples of Alaska didn't have what you and I would recognize as bread. But indeed, they did have a starchy substance that they, in essence, made a bread of. And so, I don't know if this isn't true, but I think that virtually every single culture has some kind of bread. When Bert and I return home, we often have to make a list of the restaurants that we want to visit, so we make sure we get to all the ones that are our favorites while we're visiting. And one of those that we really like is the Great Alaskan Harvest Bread Company. You know about the Great Harvest Bread, that's a national chain, but we've just modified it a little and made it Alaskan. And when you walk in that door, it's the same thing across the country when you walk into Great Harvest. You are bombarded with this wonderful aroma that just seems to permeate your pores and makes you salivate because, oh my goodness, it just smells so wonderful. But the Cincinnati headline reads, "Smell of baked bread may be hazardous." The article goes on to describe the dangers of the smell of baking bread. The main danger, apparently, is that the organic components of this aroma may break down the ozone layer. When are we going to do something about bread-induced global warming? Sure, we complain about the big oil companies with their smokestacks and all that, but when is government going to go after big? So here are some statistics that you might enjoy. More than 98% of convicted felons are bread users. Fully half of all children grow up to be bread consumers in households that score below the average on standardized tests. Get it? Okay. In the 18th century, when virtually all bread was baked in the home, the average life expectancy was less than 50 years. And infant mortality rates were unacceptably high, and many women died in childbirth, and diseases such as typhoid and yellow fever and influenza ravaged whole nations. More than 90% of violent crimes are committed within 24 hours of eating bread. Bread is made of a substance called dough. It has been proven that as little as 1 pound of dough can be used to suffocate a mouse. The average American eats more than that in 1 month. Primitive tribes that have no bread exhibit a low incidence of cancer, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and osteoporosis. And bread has been proven to be addictive. Subjects deprived of bread and given only water begged for bread after as little as 2 days. When you walk into the Great Harvest Bread Company store, or Kneaders, or the Whole Grain Natural Bread Bakery, or any bakery, the aroma is what hits you first. if you follow your nose and look behind the counter or on the chalkboard menu, you'll see racks of hand-kneaded, new this morning loaves of honey wheat and cinnamon walnut and spelt and country French breads, among others. But in those bakeries, what you will also notice is the eclectic mix of people crowded into those little shops. Business people in suits, multi-pierced high school students on lunch break, a mom with a toddler in hand, folks like you and me, all lined up patiently waiting. Some are there waiting to take home a loaf of handmade bread for the family table, or perhaps a quick lunch, but most of them are following their noses and bellying up to the counter in search of good bread. Bread with character, not the mass-produced, square-bodied, chemically preserved, white and doughy generic kind, but the handcrafted, whole grain, crusty, exotically flavored, chewy, melt-in-your-mouth kind, known as artisan bread. I know, you're drooling, right? Artisan bread takes on a unique character reminiscent of days gone by, when what bakeries have done is to bring back that homemade taste and the feel of the old days when grandma or perhaps great-grandma would bake in her kitchen the weekly cache of loaves made with love. From grandma, the only real bread was made with her own hands. No store-bought bread was good enough to grace that turkey sandwich or get slathered with apple butter. Grandma's recipes were unique, reflecting her own character and artisan skill, and always brought a begging crowd around when the oven door opened. Jesus knew what grandma and every artisan baker knows. There's just no substitute for the character, the nutrition, the taste, the experience of fresh, filling, and fulfilling real bread. Jesus is the bread. The whole of John 6 is really a lesson in artisan baking. At the beginning, we read about the amazing feeding of the 5,000 with five loaves and a couple of fish. Basic nutrition provided miraculous production. Having received this gift, the crowd pursued Jesus around to the other side of the lake after he himself walked across it, and they were looking for more. Like their Israelite ancestors who received that daily portion of manna in the desert, the crowd was clamoring to be fed on a similar with bread from heaven. The kind of plain old daily bread one might expect from a cosmic convenience store. But Jesus isn't interested in making bread for subsistence. He is the bread of life, the true bread from heaven, that which gives life to the world. He is bread conceived in the mind of the master artisan. In his own sacrifice on the cross, with his own flesh and his own blood, Jesus, the bread of life, is uniquely and incarnationally crafted to satisfy the recommended nutritional daily allowance for eternal life for all who feed on him. His own flesh and blood, freely offered for the salvation of the world. True bread, and true drink. The true bread that Jesus offers is the kind that brings people into deep relationship with God. Breaking bread with someone is a sign of true intimacy in the ancient world, a sign that those who participated in that meal were bonded for life. In a shocking reinterpretation of that tradition, Jesus offered himself to the world as bread, the means through which God and humanity become bonded for eternal and abundant life. Just as the living Father sent me, he says, I live because of the Father. So whoever eats me will live because of me. The one who eats this bread will live forever. Feeding on Jesus is a means for taking in all that he offers, the satisfying fullness of salvation, the daily nutrients of the indwelling Holy Spirit, and the strength to live life to the full with an eternal perspective. Jesus is the bread. It was a concept too weird for many people. The disciples' response to Jesus' offer is that it's a hard teaching. And John tells us that because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. Maybe it's because they couldn't get past that ick fast, the seemingly cannibalistic language that Jesus was using. Maybe it's because they simply couldn't accept the gift that Jesus was offering them. There was no way that they could earn it. There's no list of righteous check boxes, no requirements to clean your hands or to use proper table manners. Or maybe it's because of the exclusive nature of Jesus' offer. If Jesus is the only real bread, it eliminates all others. In the search to fill the gnawing emptiness inside, people turn to a wide variety of cheap, processed, mass-produced breads that ultimately leave them starving to death. Things like money, sex, power, stuff. Jesus' call is to bypass the well-stocked shelves and the stale supermarket spirituality that the world offers. Instead, Jesus calls us to go a little out of the way to the intimacy of the corner bakery for a slice of the bread of life. Bread with a unique and living character crafted by the artisan's loving hands, especially for us. When we receive the bread offered next week in Holy Communion, it's the spiritual equivalent of receiving free bread. The true bread and the true drink connect us deeply and spiritually with God through Christ. Nourished by the grace we receive, we are encouraged by the diverse crowd around us and strengthened to live life to the full. There's no substitute for the love and life that we experience when we break the bread of life. Like Peter, we too cry out, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Artisan bakeries know that the best advertising they can invest in is not only their product, the good stuff that goes into our mouths, but the word of mouth advertising that comes from customers who've had a great experience. When we enjoy a free slice of especially good earthy bread, we keep that experience to ourselves, do we? Well, what is the church but a bakery outlet, offering the real bread of life? Our hungry world is lining up and looking for something to fill the gnawing emptiness in the pit of its collective heart. Since Jesus is the real bread that satisfies us, let's make sure that we share the bread of life with the world as well. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.